Welcome. This episode of State Your Line is brought to you by Lead Bank. Lead Bank understands the importance of Black History Month. This month gives us all a reason to share, celebrate, and recognize the impact of Black heritage and culture on America. Our nation was built on the principles of equal rights and equal opportunity. The history of the struggle of Black Americans for equal rights and opportunities makes their fight an American fight. The chance for everyone to be free from violence and treated with respect. Lead Bank is a community bank that applauds the accomplishments and impact of all Americans, regardless of color. The team at Lead Bank advocates for inclusiveness and believes in equity for all people because they understand that it's their fundamental duty to innovate and to help real people achieve financial security for themselves. If you are looking for high-quality financial products from a bank that is committed to being your bank for good, then look no further. For more information, call 816-220-8600 or visit www.lead.bank. Black history matters and Black lives matter. We support the work in our community that brings justice and well-being to our community, for our history and for our future. Welcome in to State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is February 23rd, and our princess is here. No, not Sierra, but our princess, Sterling Sky Mahomes, has arrived.
Who's Sierra?
Well, I always think of, the princess is here, Sierra.
Oh, this beat is automatic. Oh, okay.
But not that princess. We're talking about Sterling Sky Mahomes is here. So put out a poll to see what the people thought about their name for the child, for the princess. It was hot or cold. You know, it was either love it or hate it. And when I aggregated all that data, ran it through the simulations, it came out to be that our listeners, I would say, lean towards not liking it.
Well, they better be careful.
60-40, maybe 65-35 type rate is where they ended up on the name, our listeners.
Well, they need to be careful because, one, that is my future daughter-in-law that they're talking about. So my son, James Ritz, is 6 months old, probably going to be in the same class as little mm-hmm. Sterling here, just putting two and two together there. So if you are not liking her name, I'm not going to invite you to the Hall of Fame ceremony when I get to go to the Hall of Fame ceremony of Patrick Mahomes because James, my son, and Sterling are soulmates. Mm-hmm. So that's first. Second, we don't name shame. We don't yep. name shame on this podcast. I bet 60 years ago, people were like, Danny, that's the stupidest freaking name I've ever heard in my life. So, mm-hmm. you know, just saying, don't name shame. But it is a little crazy how big it was. And like I bet 95% of all group chats in Kansas City were talking about baby Mahomes yesterday on Sunday or on 2 days ago on Sunday. I bet every group chat had that conversation going of what do we think of the name? Princess mm-hmm. is here. Those types of things. I mean, Union Station went pink. Union Station yeah. turned their lights
pink and white.
Pink. Mm-hmm. For this royal baby. And that's the only thing it can be compared to is the royal baby announcements and the royal baby chaos that happens when one of, you know, the royal members has a baby. There's nothing mm-hmm. else to compare it to because there's nothing quite as big as this. Every single Twitter account that exists that tweets about football tweeted about this. Mm-hmm. NFL players have babies all the time.
All the time.
This was such a big deal. It was It was a little crazier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, well, it's the perfect storm of, you know, Mahomes being the face of the NFL and then Brittany being such an influencer.
A lightning rod.
On Instagram it caused everybody to pay attention to it. I like the name. You got Sterling. They got the dog Silver.
Mm.
You know what the Lombardi Trophy is made out of?
Sterling Silver.
Sterling Silver.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Eric England, a listener, friend of the show, pointed that out. So nice little detail that maybe a lot of people miss because they were too focused on Sterling Sky. I think Sterling and Silver, Sterling Silver, the Lombardi Trophy.
So. Also, Indiana Jones was named after the dog. So not saying Sterling is named after the dog, but there's kind of a connection there. So Indiana Jones, pretty good career. Pretty successful, pretty influential person, I would say, throughout human history. I mean, discovering, you know, the
Holy Grail,
the Holy Grail, everything else. Mm-hmm. So she's in good company.
Yeah. And also, I'm going to defend Brittany here, too. Why doesn't everybody ease off of her baby shoot that she had with the dress? And everyone knows what dress I'm talking about. She's, what is she, 24, 25,
yeah.
I think? She's a multimillionaire, and she can wear whatever she wants. She can afford whatever dress she wants, and I think she looks great. You put yourself in her shoes for a minute. If you were that young and rich, you'd probably wear very outlandish, fashionable items, too. Like, just because you were 24 and poor and couldn't afford sweet things like Brittany can, don't try to tear her down.
Yeah, so. I love that you always race to defend her. I love it.
I will.
It's very it's like, I mean, there's no other the way that they are the way that they're treated and talked about in KC. I mean, there's nothing else to compare it to.
It's
other
royalty.
Than the royal family, and that's how she dresses, and so it makes sense. Except she dresses like, or that dress was like royal family from, you know, the Victorian age or something like that. But you know, close enough.
Did it have something to do with Bridgerton? I couldn't get an answer from anybody.
The dress?
Is that, yeah, I don't know.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I think one of the writers from Bridgerton is from Kansas City. So we might have to do some research into that for the Leonardo DiCaprio, hey, look, there's KC segment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, welcome to Kansas City, Sterling. I wonder if when we get the first look at Sterling. Still?
I don't think
Still
it's
no
going to happen.
Just a little hand.
I don't think
just
it's going to happen.
It's all we've gotten so far.
You
don't think so?
I don't think we're going to get baby pics. I think she's going to be protective.
Okay. That would be surprising because obviously she's someone who is an influencer and definitely an oversharer that comes with, you know, part of being an influencer.
But then sometimes those are the people who keep their children protected and most private.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes not.
Yeah, we'll see.
Me being an influencer, if you want, you know, to follow my Instagram, it is filled with Baby James content. So I have chosen to try to use
James to promote your brand.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kevin.
Yep. Exactly. All right. So welcome. Happy for them. Sounds like everything's going well as far as we know. So the Royal baby is here. Welcome to Kansas City. Also, just that's one thing about like I feel like athletes sometimes when we talk about like free agency and what lures them to an LA or a New York or Sam, you know, those big cities, like New York City's not lighting up pink for, you know, an athlete's baby being born or anything like that. So while other cities might be bigger and cooler, some people might think, like, as an athlete, if you make it here in Kansas City, like, everything's about you. Like,
maybe you don't want that.
I can't imagine. Well, it's pretty sweet. I'm sure he's feeling the love from Kansas City. I think it's pretty awesome. All right, let's transition from royal babies to the Royals, who spring training pitchers and catchers are here. Monday they had their first full team workout, all the guys in, and exciting. I like how they're social media did like kind of an NFL type entrance, because usually you don't see players.
Walking in
the street gear into training camp. But we had a lot of that content today. The boys were looking good.
This is one of my favorite. It's an annual tradition for Kansas City Royals fans. The first day of spring training to get way too excited about the team, to start projecting lineups, to start only looking at the positives, dogging when Vegas and other Pacoda projections.
71.5.
Vegas is at 74. So then just like piling and ripping those type of projections, not believing them and just assuming. This is the time of year where you assume only the best is going to happen, right? So like you start putting in your head, well, if Mondesi has a full season like his September, then we win 90 games. If Mike Minor shoves 220 innings, he's a Cy Young candidate. If
finished eighth in 2019,
Benintendi Cy Young has the same season he had in 2019, MVP candidate. If Carlos Santana, right?
Yeah,
has 2019 has his 2019 season. Perfect spot, number 4 or 5 in the lineup. Just beauty.
Yeah.
Soler, another 40 home runs. Sal, another 35 home runs. Merrifield, 25 home. If all that happens, we're winning 95 games.
Yeah.
And
then
you've
got
time of year.
Wade Davis and Greg Holland ready to return to form.
Yeah. Where's Herrera? Get him on the team. And this is the best time of year to just like assume only the good things are going to happen. So like Mondesi had a September that was really good. So let's just assume that awesome stuff is going to happen. Carlos Santana and Benintendi had really bad 2020s. So
small sample
size.
So
that's a small sample size. And we're going to ignore that small sample size.
Yeah,
we're
going to
ignore the bad small sample size of Benintendi and Santana and only look at the good sample size of Mondesi for 1 month. So that's what we're doing. And by the way, speaking of Santana, isn't Irvin Santana back on the team too?
Smell baseball, baby. Smell baseball.
El Mago. What's smell baseball?
Dude, he's all about it. Smelling baseballs. It's like his Twitter handle too, I think. He's just always tweeting about smelling baseballs.
All right. Well, so,
he's back too.
Anyways, if everything goes according to plan, we're winning 90 games. The biggest problem is we're in the same division as, you know, the Indians and the White Sox and the Twins, who are all really good. I guess Detroit's just going to win like 45 games or something like that. But I guess, you know, we'll all go to the playoffs.
Yeah. This is a year you got to start holding some people accountable here this year. Like, there's got to be some high, like, this cannot be 100 loss season.
Yeah.
This cannot be that.
And let's not get into that yet.
All right,
Kev.
Fine.
Only positive.
All right, okay.
It's spring training started. Everything, small sample sizes that were good, let's project those out. Small sample sizes that were bad, let's ignore them completely, and let's go from there.
Yeah, I think I still like Matheny too. I'm excited to see what he does. He's got a more flexible lineup. He's got way more pro hitters on the team now too, adding Santana and Benintendi, where Alex Gordon was not a professional hitter for the last couple of years.
Mondesi was arguably the worst hitter
Mondesi
in baseball
was
for
not
2.5 months.
And then as much as you like love
and Nicky Lopez hitting, is not even a double A hitter, so
And as much as you loved McBroom hitting pinch hit home runs, like, he's not a major league everyday player. So he's got more depth in the lineup. I like the way he uses the bullpen too.
All right, let's calm down. Let's pump. We have time to dig in.
I'll get excited about it. All right. I was finally getting excited about it, and then you slow me down again. Okay. All right. So spring baseball is here. It's good. I don't know what I am upset about right now is I don't have a way to watch the Royals come.
Yeah, I gotta figure that out.
Yeah, like the fact that it's just like the MLB is just like, well, if you're on a streaming service, that sucks.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
It's just like, all right, well, do you want your audience to get younger? Because you're doing a pretty shitty job of that. Like, I would pay $25 a month to just Royal or for an MLB pass and watch, be able to watch Royals. Mm. But I can't do that. I don't want cable, and there's nothing I can do to watch the games.
So they'll figure it out.
Frustrating. I hope so.
Last year, like YouTube TV got it like the day before the season started. So I think something will happen.
All right. We'll see. I certainly hope so. All right. Let's move on to our Kansas Cityan of the week. This week, we're going to be honoring LC Richardson, who passed away last week or this week. At 86, he was the owner of LC's Barbecue out by the stadium. And a legend in the Kansas City barbecue world. Somebody who, if you had been to the restaurant, you'd probably seen LC because his office was right at the end of the line, right after you ordered. There was LC sitting down right there. So sad to see the news that LC passed away. But, you know, his legacy will be that restaurant, which will live on.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, the food is too good for it not to. But but yeah, this Kansas Cityan of the Week award, it wasn't intended to be like honoring Kansas City legends who have now passed. But it's kind of been that the last 2 weeks with Marty and Therese and now LC. But yeah, I mean, just the pit, the experience of going into LC's, the pit that is there. It's just it's a one of a kind experience, and it doesn't exist anywhere else in Kansas City barbecue. So if you've never been down to LC's, go. It still has that, like, you know, hole in the wall, true barbecue pit smell and style. It never expanded to become a chain or have multiple places like a lot of other.
They had a second location for a minute there for about 5 years out.
Yeah, in Lenexa. But, I mean, it never, you know, that wasn't the intention, and that's not the feel you get when you go in there. So if you haven't been into LC's, go inside, see the pit. Unfortunately, LC's not there anymore because, yeah, his office was just out in the dining hall. But yeah, still a legendary place and unforgettable smells and sights when you go inside there. So, LC.
I was listening to his granddaughter talk about it, and she said that all he wanted to do was make people happy, and cooking barbecue is how he wanted to do it. He opened the joint up later in life with like his retirement money, and then that's what he chose to do with his retirement, which was open a restaurant. That's not much of a retirement, but he made a lot of people happy. What's your favorite meal there?
Okay, so the turkey is really good.
The turkey sandwich is just double decker white bread. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, but I'm too addicted to ribs. So I always end up getting ribs from there, and it's just incredible watching them pull it out of the smoker. It's again just a one of a kind experience.
Yeah, or just get a half chicken if you go to. Phenomenal.
Out of bounds.
They do the birds right. All right. So LC Richardson, our Kansas Cityan of the week. Let's move into a little openings, closings, kind of related here a little bit. We've had both of these on the podcast before. So Betty Ray's opening, we had now
disgraced,
no longer disgraced former owner David Friesen. We had him on the podcast. Shit hit the fan, and you can go read all about that. We touched on it just a little bit. On the podcast, but now Betty Ray's is under a new ownership group and is going to be reopening in the spring.
And then closing is, well, we don't know, maybe closing, maybe not.
Yeah.
Port Fonda, another, things not great at Port Fonda, not a, what you would call professional, work environment. You can go read about, Betty Ray's and Port Fonda, on thepitchkc.com. The Pitch does a good job of doing comprehensive coverage of both incidences. We had Patrick Ryan on the podcast not that long ago. So
he's the
if you're
owner
looking,
of Port Fonda.
Yeah, who's the owner and chef of Port Fonda. If you're looking to, if you have some skeletons in your closet and you're looking to get canceled, you know, 3-4 months from now, come on our podcast, because it seems to be a good, you know, come on the State Your Line. 3 or 4 months later, a lot of shit comes out about you. Turns out maybe you have some issues, and yeah, then you get canceled by the pitch later on. And so just a tough week. I think we need to go through our guest list and see like who's next.
Yeah. Just start thinking, all right, who's next? Who's going to get, but yeah, not a good situation at Port Fonda. A lot of a terrible work environment, a lot of abuse, harassment, not good at all. And Danny and I, we do this for fun. Like, we're not journalists. That's what the pitch is for. And they did an awesome job. They wrote a really good story about what was going on there. Danny and I, we do this for fun. It's not like we can go do background checks on every single person that we interview. And we're not going to. We're going to try to highlight people doing good things in Kansas City. We can't predict what the hell is going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So we'll do our best to keep bringing fun people who aren't having all this shit in the closet. But yeah, that was openings and closings. A real, real good one this week.
Yeah.
Well, excited. But can Betty Rays, I was thinking about this, like the name.
Yeah.
Can it stay the same?
Yeah. But you, why
because,
not?
Because it's David Friesen's grandma.
Yeah, but it's just a license. You know, you can just license it.
No, I didn't mean like legally could it stay the same. I just mean like from a public perception, it's really hard to disassociate Betty Rays from him, I think.
No, that's just because we know too much, Kevin, not to the general public.
Okay, I know too much. I know too much.
I'm all looking through my our list of former guests, and I'm just thinking.
Yeah,
it's definitely
David Collins.
David Collins, no doubt.
Salacious.
You know who gives off a real "I'm a bad person" vibe? Alec Lewis for The Athletic.
Oh yeah.
I mean, my goodness, Alec.
Mick Schaefer, the bad boy of 41 Action News.
You better look out, Mick. We're coming for you.
Yeah.
If Mick gets canceled,
nobody's safe. Nobody is safe. But also check out our Instagram. We just put out our top 10 guests from 2020, which was exciting to piece together. And yeah, no shock. Shanna Hutchison, Wellness for the Win, number one show of 2020, beating out The Mayor. So congrats, Shanna. I think you should run for mayor.
I think she has
right?
to. She's
That's
more
logical.
Popular than him.
I think so. So thanks to everybody who's been a guest on the show, and especially the ones who don't have shit like this in their closet, for coming on. All right. How about a little what do we try this week?
Yeah,
you
want
to go first or you want me to?
Hell yeah. I tried – this has been on my list for a long time. I tried Kitty's Cafe. Kitty's Cafe is over on 31st and Schroost. It is I think it's been there for – I don't know, 60 years or something like that. It's been there for a while. It is, it's a lot, it's a, like kind of a town, it's tiny. It's a hole in the wall. It is super small. They do burgers. They're famous for their pork tenderloin sandwich. And
what'd you get?
So I got the pork tendy sandwich. It is battered, not breaded. So battered, pork fried pork tenderloin sandwich. And it's like layered, so it's huge, so they just bent it over and layered it, so
yeah,
it looks like
I want my pork tenderloin double the size of my bun.
Yeah, no, so they just folded it over itself, so it's three stacks high, so it's like eating a triple pork tendy sandwich, and comes with onions and lettuce and hot sauce all over it. It is absolutely delicious. I got it with an order of fries, and yeah, warning, it is cash only, so you got to be prepared for that. Yeah, they've got smash burgers. They've got breakfast sandwiches, like egg sausage, breakfast sandies. I got it with James Lemonade, which I guess is a local lemonade. I didn't know that, but it's called James Lemonade. Got that too. So it was so nice outside today. I ate outside. There are a dining area inside. Again, it's literally, it's like the size of Town Topic. It's that small inside, but they do have a patio. I ate out there today because it was so nice. So that's Kitty's Cafe on 31st Street, east of Martini Corner, but like just a couple blocks west of Troost.
All right. Man, that sounds good. I'm hungry now thinking about smash burgers, pork tenderloin sandwich. Very delicious. All right. I tried Double Tap KC. We have had a guest before, Terry Keith, who is the owner and operator. He's been on the pod before. We got to like try it out a little bit, but now I got to finally like fully immerse myself in the Double Tap KC experience. Went for my girlfriend's birthday. So really easy to book. $50 for an hour on the weekend. And you can have five or six people in there. So it's really not that expensive. You get, you know, drinks are brought to your table. You go sign in, get a drink at the bar, bring it to your table. Then you'll have a waitress getting you drinks as well. Then you're strapping on the VR headsets. We played all sorts of games, lots of fun. Props, Double Tap KC. And
what was your favorite game?
We played one. It was similar to Tower Tag. The one we played, it was a little different. Basically you like jump from platform to platform trying to shoot the other person. And then I also played like a riverboat game where you're going down the river and like frogs are jumping at you. They're shooting fireballs at you.
Any stupid videos?
Yeah, I got a good one I'm going to post.
Okay, nice.
But yeah. And, so it was a blast. Almost every bay was full.
Nice.
So I was happy to see that. Also I just realized like I'm old.
Yeah.
My only complaint was the music was too loud and I didn't know any of the songs.
So did you get a little tipsy? What was it? Was it different being a little?
Yeah.
A
so
little buzz?
I mean, you can get after it. Definitely. I mean, you can just get beers. They've got a lot of local beers on tap. Space Camper on tap. Always a good, mm-hmm. good one. Mm-hmm. And then they have a list of 50 different bombs that you can take.
Nice.
Too. So like you can just go and have a couple beers, or it can be like
they have
like,
Brett, I mean, Allred consult on the bar menu.
Yeah, probably. So you can just have a couple beers, or I mean you can get after it, get some bombs. They have a really fun drink menu, and then also some all the arcade games are free to play. So they have like
sweet.
The classic Pac-Man. All of that, that's all free to play, too. So it's a good cool. time. Go spend a couple hours down there in the river.
Yeah, what would you recommend? How long is long enough?
An hour was long enough for us. I could have done another hour. I think...
the girls, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then we played some like big Jenga afterwards.
What is it about video games that like guys like and girls don't? Like, it's not that...
I don't know.
It's not that complicated. But there's something, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you have to have just like a little bit of a sense of have held a game controller before.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so you know what pushing a button does kind
sure.
of.
Sure. I
so,
gotcha.
Yeah. All right. But it's a great time. And I'm old because I was like, damn, the music's too loud and I don't know any songs.
Yeah.
Because that was like my first real bar experience in a while too.
Yeah.
Like out on a Saturday night. And I was like, man. Games passed me by. All right. But would recommend Double Tap KC. Thanks for to Terry for coming on the pod when he did and for showing us a good time there. All right. Interview this week. We've got Gigi the vegan. She owns Gigi's Vegan Cafe and Wellness in Westport, right on Westport Road, kind of before or west of Southwest Traffic Way and
the cluster
mess of an intersection. But yeah, a lot of fun talking with Gigi. Like we told her before we went on, I was like, Gigi, I don't know really a lot about being a vegan. I came to your cafe and I loved it. And I really wanted to talk to you about everything. So please don't take anything personally. And she did not. She was a ton of fun. And all right, today we are joined by Gigi Jones, aka Gigi the Vegan, owner of Gigi's Vegan Cafe and Wellness. Gigi, my favorite like joke about vegans is how can you tell someone's a vegan? And the answer is you don't need to, they'll tell you. And so I love that Gigi the Vegan, it's just right in the name.
Exactly. Look at that. That is so, that is really funny because it's right there in the name. So mm-hmm. apparently there's some truth to that, right?
Apparently it's right there. I told you we were going to be giving you a hard time for it, as Danny and I are a couple of guys who grew up eating barbecue and meat all the time. But we're curious to learn, you know, more about what you do and more about the cafe as well. So I guess where we'll start is, let's start with the cafe and kind of what's going on at the cafe right now. Are you guys able to have customers come in and eat and shop? Because I know you've got some items for sale with your face on it there too.
Absolutely. You know, our wonderful mayor, Quentin Lucas, just opened. Kansas City is back open again. Isn't that wonderful? So mm-hmm. the restaurants are open. Of course, there's still some social distancing going on, but you can actually come in and eat in the cafe, which is really exciting. We have a new spring menu that's coming out. We're super excited about that. We have grab and goes. And of course, 100% plant-based food that we serve there, from juices to, oh my goodness, lasagna, to tacos, burgers. Some of our foods are raw as well. If you have a raw lifestyle, we do cater to those vegans that are... that have you know, a different lifestyle, which is 100% raw.
Mm-hmm. So Kevin mentioned your name is, you know, you go by Gigi the Vegan, and that's kind of what you're known by. Do you, I mean, that's a lot of pressure. Do you ever feel like, are you ever tempted to cheat and just be like, okay, no one's looking, I'm going to you know, Westport Flea Market right down the street, and I'm getting a big old burger to go. But you know, you're Gigi the Vegan, so there's all kinds of pressure on you. Are you ever tempted?
You know what? There's pressure. There is a mm-hmm. lot of pressure, but I must say, you know, since I've changed my lifestyle, I guess the most is the fried French Ooh. Fries. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the cheese. The French fries. Anything else? No, absolutely not. You know, I feel so great. I feel fabulous. And with my lifestyle change from, like you guys, eating tons of meat, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about the seafood and the rest of it and the fried chicken, okay? Mm-hmm. So with that, you know, I don't have the desire anymore. You know, it's been since 2015. It's not that long ago. But however, I just don't have it in me, guys. I really don't.
I'm impressed. Because that would be tempting.
I think because, you know, we can now create foods that mimic, you know, different meats or whatever, even though I make... You know, I make meatballs out of lentils, which is really good. I just say, you know, it's all in the sauce. You know what I mean? Everything's in that sauce, but your taste buds change. So, and that desire that we had, you know, that addiction that I would say that I had to meat, because I grew up on fried chicken and pork chops and stuff like that. And, I think once I changed it, I kind of gave it up. And you know what? Here's the thing. I gave it up for health because I had this funky thing they call cancer. And I was looking for other ways of self-healing my body. And I heard about a raw lifestyle could possibly help me. And that raw lifestyle, that means raw plants, not raw meat, guys, raw plants. So I said, well, if I have to have surgery, I prepare myself and go vegan and eat all these raw plants and raw juices and no sugar, no salt, any, just gave it up. And you know what? When I did it that way, cravings, sugar cravings, I mean, listen to me, guys, I was like a crack addict. You know, I was used to having coffee and sugar and all of these different things. And can you imagine going through that withdrawal, changing into this whole new different lifestyle, no meat? Yeah, it was a little tough, but you know what? I did it for my health. And I don't know, I won't go back, even though I've been cleared cancer free, but I just, I don't know. I don't have the desire anymore. I really don't. And
so I read another interview that you did where you talked about that, and really it was the cancer diagnosis that kind of pushed this lifestyle. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you didn't end up needing the surgery that was required, and your body just kind of healed itself. And you always are, mentioned how thankful you are to all the doctors that you got to work with, but your body did kind of help itself. And have you talked to doctors, you know, since then, and been like, hey, this was, this worked for me. Like, any idea why?
You know, I have some great doctors. You know, there's a lot of great doctors out there. And you know what, if it wasn't for the doctors, what would we do? So I am grateful for them, you know, and everyone should see their doctor and do what the doctor suggests that you do for your health, you know, but I had a great one. I pretty much told him what I was doing, and he thought, well, Gigi, you know, you need to have surgery right away and all that. But I said, you know what, let me get my body. My whole intention was to prepare my body for surgery and for chemo, you know, and I figured this way I'd do it to, you know, get my body right, strong enough to get through the process. But in turn, you know, I kept going 2 years this way, and I was able to reverse that. My doctor was so, and still is, supportive, even though, you know, he said, I didn't receive this training in school. You do what's best for you, Gigi, and we're gonna, you know, let's revisit this thing. But every year I still go back and get checked, you know, and make sure that I'm healthy, and make sure that, you know, I'm strong. And, you know, I like I said, I encourage people to do, you know, to listen to your doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor, but you also should listen to your body. 100%. Our body tells us, you know, when we're in tune with our body, we hear what our body is saying, you know, just like when you get these aches, when you're coming down with the cold or flu, your body tells you those symptoms are there. And just like with, you know, me with cancer, you know, but my body didn't want surgery. You know, I wanted to do something different. And I think sometimes what is what we're seeking is seeking us. And for me, now it led me on a different path. You know, I would have never thought about veganism. You know, I'm not eating meat. Are you crazy?
Yeah. So
tell me that. No.
Yeah. So then how does this journey that you had, you know, starting this vegan lifestyle, how does that lead to opening up the cafe? Was cooking something you always loved to do, and then those passions just came together for this? Or how did that happen?
You know, what happened was I decided to go to a place for holistic healing. It's called Hippocrates Health Institute. And from there, I decided to get certified in all of it with Dr., you know, Colin Campbell and all of these other leading physicians that offer holistic training and all of it. And so I had to go through that because I changed my lifestyle and I need to learn how to eat. You know what I mean? I needed to learn that new lifestyle for myself, but it offered me so much more that I would have never thought was possible, not just for myself, but for my family, for my community. And so from all that, I received the training and became, then after that, I became a dietitian now, you know? And so I wanted to be able to not just help myself, but, you know, my community as well. And from that, learning to cook plants, learning to eat a different way. My grandchildren and my sons was inspired, and they love the food. And, you know, you talk about guys that like you guys, right? That still, you know, eat this way. But they would come over every Sunday to eat my food, you know, which is all vegan, plant-based foods. And they enjoyed it and still do. And so I thought, they like it. Let's see what else, you know. So anyway, I just started offering free food to people that, you know, that I was preparing. And then I started making other snacks like kale chips, and I would hand those out because I just wanted to share. I just wanted to, you know, I wanted other people to try something different and new and healthy, you know, a different alternative than the processed foods that we eat and all of it. And I would give it out to juice bars and et cetera. And and then that's what kind of started the whole movement, I guess.
So you've been mentioning some of the plant-based foods. I have some questions about whether or not it is vegan. So there's a little bit of a gray area here. So I need Gigi the vegan to verify. Okay. It's corn, but an oxen or another beast of burden was used to plow the field. Is that vegan? Okay. Or it's a pineapple, but it sometimes it falls off the tree and hurts a chicken, maybe. Would that pineapple still be vegan if it caused harm to that chicken from falling off the tree? Or it's a potato that's shaped like a little bunny rabbit. Have you seen those that occasionally go viral?
You know?
So, and you're right. Where do you land on those?
You know, for me being Gigi the vegan and the pineapple falls and hit. Okay, it's no longer vegan for me.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
You're right. You know,
that's good. No to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those okay. are good to know. And the potato shaped like a, what did you say?
A bunny rabbit or something?
Right. A bunny rabbit. Off limits for me. No longer.
Okay. Vegan. Okay. Good. Real question. What about, I assume they're not vegan, but like oysters, not vegan?
Not vegan.
Okay. Because I was a little confused about what oysters and what they are. I don't really know what they are, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So what they are, I guess they're a form of animal, right?
Because yeah, like a crustacean. They're in the,
like a...
A snail? Like,
fish?
Yeah, sure.
Lobster?
Yeah.
Crabs?
Just a little, they just don't have a face, you know? So it's...
And mama and a daddy, maybe?
I don't know. I'm going to have to do some research on what oysters, because they don't have a face. And so that is there's got to be something where you're not a vegan, but you won't eat anything with a face. So like you could eat oysters and shrimp, maybe.
And I say, I won't eat anything with a face, with a mama.
Potatoes have eyes. So careful.
You know, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
Potatoes are very starchy. I think some of us shouldn't be eating it anyway, you know, especially if it's not, what do we call it? Sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be eating it. Absolutely. Yeah. Too starchy.
I love sweet potatoes. All right. So I'm curious, and you were talking about how you were able to get your sons and grandkids to try your food all plant-based. Sometimes I think it is a little intimidating. Like I came in to the cafe and I had my first ever vegetarian or vegan burger ever at your place. And that was like intimidating to order. How do you get people past that? Like, I feel like I'm more likely to try like an Arby's sandwich that is just seven types of meat before I tried like an Impossible burger. And I don't know why, but how do you get people to maybe
venture? It's our mindset, right? Mm-hmm. It's the mindset. And I even have customers that come in that are vegan and will ask, oh, is this a vegan cafe? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And then we have others that just come in and say, hey, this is, a, you know, they take one day out of the week and do a plant-based meal. And you're right, the intimidation. And so what I try to do is, I usually would ask a person if they were vegan or not. And if there aren't, there are certain things that I would offer, you know, that is that kind of mimic, like mm-hmm. the burger you had, which is our wild burger, teriyaki mushrooms on top.
The teriyaki mushrooms were.
Yeah, veggie yes, patty. Very good. And that is for everyone, you know, across the board. And it's in the texture is a little, you know, mimic meat because of the mushrooms, you know? And I think that's what makes it quite feeling, but you're definitely right there. And I like to explain that to our customers as well. And I think that our environment within our space, you know, within our community space is very friendly. When you walk in, we definitely welcome you into the space and we're glad that you're here. And, you know, the reality of it is that, you know, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. There's no intimidation. You know, we don't really try to, there's no message anywhere mm-hmm. of, mm-hmm. you know, because I think that sometimes not only, being intimidated. What is my word that I want to say? You're not pressured. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the menu. If there's something on there that you're not comfortable with or don't even want, you know, you can say, GG, yeah. I'll call you next time.
You're way less intimidating than the TV screaming at me, we have the meats. Like, you're way less intimidating than that. So I appreciate that.
You're so welcome for sure. So, Gigi, I should say, you know what? We have the plants.
Maybe there you go.
That's what I should. That's the new
You slogan. Might want to be careful because like Arby's probably has that copyrighted too. And
oh, you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right.
I feel like that's vegans. I feel like vegan and plant-based foods have mastered the burger patty. And like we're seeing that everywhere. What is the next like meat dish that vegans are going to ruin? Vegans are going to improve.
You know,
you guys got like imitation brisket oyster, ready to go or something?
What do you think about that oyster mushroom?
Yeah. I'm just imagining like imitation brisket or like burnt ends that are made of tofu.
And you know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. I haven't gotten into that yet. You know, there's a lot of people that make that, you know, and different types of gluten substance for chicken and all of that, you know. I haven't done that yet. You know, it's all clean for us, you know, all clean as much as possible. You know, we yeah. want you to leave healthy and if you're ready to say, hey, I'm ready to go vegan, this is the way. So mm-hmm. we'll definitely show you the way, but we'll show you the way in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys also do like detox plans and detox juice meal.
Exactly, we do.
Explain that to me. How does that work?
Well, we do juice cleanses as well. You know, some people will come in and say, you know, we like to offer 3-day juice cleanse. And what that does is it releases the body of heavy metal, toxins, and, you know, and sometimes, you know, we tend to overeat. We're here in America. And guilty. On those days, yeah, you feel bloated. You feel, you know, people have joint issues. COVID is happening. And so it gives our chance to allow our kidneys and liver to rest and just flush those, you know, flush our system. Yeah. Mainly cleanse our bodies, you know.
How
and
often
that is
should, so important. How often should like someone like me do that? Like I've never cleansed my body, so it's just like, you know, stacking up, piling up
right.
Like the trash and junk and whatnot. But like if I wanted to, like, should I do that once a quarter, once a year, once a month?
I would say, you know, there's the juice cleanse and then there's the detox program, which I explained. I always say, you know, we have to do what Mother Nature's cycle does. She okay. cleanses herself, you know, winter, fall, summer, spring, right? And then that is the cycle. We should be on that same cycle because we're all connected, right? And love so it. When we do it on that cycle, then it truly flushes our body and allow disease to be at bay. But we have to get back connected with nature and Mother Nature. And this is the way to do it.
I can get down on 4 times a year doing a cleanse. Like, yes. I feel like that's not too big of an ask. That's a very, very easy, like entry level point. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit.
Absolutely. Wonderful. And let me tell you, the juice cleanse, you get 6 juices a day. Ooh, and you okay. can do that for, you know, some people do 3-day juice cleanse, some do 7-day. I recommend the 7-day. If you can get through the 7-day on juice cleanse, you are good to go. And then, like we said, you're only doing it X amount of day, you know, months, days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. What?
So people are just truly just drinking juice and water, I would guess, for that week.
Absolutely.
What are you feeling like physically and mentally through that? I would imagine that's a little challenging to get through.
You know what? 3-day is perfect because what happens is that you start to detox. And what that means is that your body goes into a certain state. But once you get through, I always tell people, once you get through the 2nd day, especially if you've been drinking coffee, you have sugar, toxic sugar into the body. And then your body's detoxed. And once it relieves itself, the headaches subside, you have so much energy and you feel so much better. You really wouldn't want to go back and put that junk, that's what my granddaughter calls it, junk back in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to put it back in your body anymore. You know, and then we have a 21-day detox. And the 21 day is actually meal plans. I prepare meals for you for 21 days, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it's all plants. Absolutely. And man, you're eating and it's food based. So it's not just drinking, you know, cleansing your body through juice, but also with healthy foods.
That's awesome. That's like you get to be a part of Gigi's family for 21 days.
Yeah,
just exactly.
Gigi's cooking for you for all that time. That's
and not
awesome.
Only that, you're right, Gigi's family, because you receive affirmations every day to help motivate you to get into the, you know, help motivate you to get through the process. And then you also receive a journal. You're journaling every day just to, you know, we have to start cleansing our, not just our bodies, but our mind and our spirit and being connected. And we also, you know, at 6 a.m., we're sitting there doing meditation together, which is wonderful, on, you know, live. And so a little bit goes into our 21-day detox program. So it's wonderful. And I've been doing this program since 2016. It's quite successful. Have remarkable success stories from my clients.
That's absolutely awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, Gigi, thank you so much for joining us today. And people can find you at your store on Westport Road. And then
yeah, my what? Time's up. Time's
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
It flew by, didn't it?
It did. Well, Gigi's Vegan Cafe is located at 1103 Westport Road. You can find us there. That's Kansas City, Missouri. We're also on all of the social media platforms. Instagram at Gigi the Vegan KC. And then if you're looking for the cafe, it's Gigi's Vegan Cafe. Our number, phone number is 816-605-1819.
All right, Gigi, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, perfect. Thanks
so much.
All right, thanks again to Gigi for joining us. A lot of fun. Got to ask the questions. We figured out that if a pineapple falls on a chicken, that pineapple no longer vegan. Not in Gigi's book, so therefore not in my book either.
Yeah,
so.
Correct. No, it left me like thinking about some of the stuff I put in my body and just like like literally poisoning myself, you know, on the weekends by drinking and, you know, just thinking a little bit about that. She was the perfect vegan guest to have on because she understands that it's not for everyone. And she just wants to make it approachable. She just wants to make people happy and like welcome you into her life a little bit. So, I loved it. I thought it was an awesome interview. And especially now, like people are always talking about like, how can we support Black businesses? People are asking, how can we support and eat from Black owned restaurants? Boom. Gigi's Vegan Cafe.
Yeah. And just, even if you're not, vegetarian, vegan, anything, just having a meal that has no meat in it, you're gonna feel great after.
I've done it like three times in my entire life.
I've started doing it a lot. It's great having a meatless day. Recharge your batteries.
Wow, California. Kev brought it back.
Let's go, bro. All right, thanks Gigi for joining us. Next we got a little, hey look, there's KC Leo DiCaprio meme. This one comes to us. It's the iconic Blue Springs Bowl sign, and it's used in WandaVision.
WandaVision,
that's the biggest thing on Earth right now.
It's the biggest show on the planet right now, right? This is the biggest biggest show on the planet. So there is a – if you're from Blue Springs, shout out Lindsay. You know there's an iconic Blue Springs Bowl, a bowling alley sign. This WandaVision, I think it's something, something Springs. Basically there's a sign for the town that Wanda has created and it's something Springs.
Willow Springs, I think.
Yeah. West. Something.
It starts with a W.
West. Cause remember, yeah. Anyways, I've watched WandaVision. I think it's like a B/C+ type of show. It's not great. We can talk about that. Actually, we're not going to talk about that anymore. But
Westview.
But there's something Springs.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll post the two signs. But it is an exact replica of Blue Springs Bowl, the sign for something Springs Wanda. Exact replica of Blue Springs Bowl. So shout out Blue Springs Bowl. Shout out Blue Springs. Your iconic sign made it into Disney Plus's WandaVision show.
Sorry if I missed anything. You froze on the internet. There
might be disconnected.
No, you're good. I got 35. You back.
Okay,
I got you back. Let me just say, okay, WandaVision, you can't just do what you did for the first three episodes. That was really mean. Like, just like, hey,
well, you had that was
you,
coming.
Do you like the Marvel Universe? Watch this. Y'all have no idea what the hell is going on. Okay.
At least they're 20-minute episodes.
Yeah, at least. That's the best thing about the episodes, is that they're short.
Not good if the best thing about the episodes is that they're short. Yeah, the show has its problems, but I think the only reason I'm watching it is because it's Marvel and it's on Disney Plus. Like, if it was on NBC, I would not watch it.
Yeah, you didn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC.
I did not.
Yeah. That's Mary-Kate and Ashley's sister, Wanda.
I am in shock that there are this
a lot
many
of people,
people
didn't know that.
Learning. She looks exactly like them. How do you not? Mm-hmm. She's very famous. She's been famous since
from this role.
Age of Ultron, which was like almost 10 years ago. And people are just now realizing it's Mary-Kate and Ashley's sister.
Didn't know they had another sister. Missed that.
She's definitely like, there's been some funny memes going around about like who, like, you know, I don't know. Funny memes about her being the only good actor and the only one who's got their shit together of the three of them. Mm-hmm. Doing a poor job just doing a verbal meme right now, but
yeah,
there's some
poor
good memes out there.
Okay. All right. So that has, hey, look, there's KC. Next. Oh, folks, Letter to the Editors are back with good strength now that, you know, maybe people got tired of complaining about politics and the coronavirus. Actually, no, they haven't, because that still is the main topic of every letter to the editor. Like, have a original petty complaint, please, if you're going to write a letter to the editor. Like this guy, David Steinley from Russell, Kansas.
What's up?
Here's what he says. Tom Brady has now won 7 Super Bowls as a starting quarterback and been the game's most valuable player 5 times. Facts that cannot be refuted. Thanks, David. However, the nauseating chorus of calling Brady the greatest of all time is an opinion, one that I will never agree with. Hell yes. Brady plays in an era of inflated offense where one bomb to draw pass interference is in every playbook, and referees call more penalties for roughing the passer in one season than some did in the 60s and 70s called in their entire career.
Yes. So,
soft. That's what the NFL is now. Brady would have struggled mightily during the era of Johnny Unitas,
yes,
Bart Starr, and Frank Tarkenton,
uh-huh,
Tarkenton, when receivers were routinely shoved and tackled far from the line of scrimmage, even when they were not the primary receiver. Brady is a habitual whiner who feels every call he doesn't get is part of a vendetta. I can envision him throwing tantrums on the sideline and complaining to the media if the rules were turned back to those from the early 1970s. I'm not a Chiefs fan, but I was dismayed by their pathetic showing in Super Bowl LV because
well, it was
more
pathetic.
Fuel
yeah.
to those who worship at the altar of Brady. So
love it.
Can't dispute that Brady maybe wouldn't have liked getting roughed up in the 60s and 70s, but I would say he probably compares athletically pretty well to those quarterbacks of the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, like, so the
speed,
so the
agility.
The point of this guy's argument is that if in the middle of the game they switched mm-hmm. the rules back to match the rules of the 60s and 70s, Tom Brady might complain about that.
Yep.
That seems unreasonable of Brady to complain if they switched the rules in the middle of a game back to 3 decades mm-hmm. ago, 4 decades ago. Also, someone who trains for 365 days a year and has a team of probably 6 or 7 people who their only job is to keep his body in shape and to look at his throwing motion and all of that. Someone like that would have sucked in the 60s and 70s, no doubt. Couldn't have competed to guys who just were alcoholics and were some of the least athletic people to ever walk the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no way. No way could he have competed against that.
No way.
I don't see it happening.
Nope. No way. So don't change, David. I love it. I love it. Thanks for the
this
letter.
This brings up some of the classic arguments we've had in the Ritz family, which is Tim Tebow a better quarterback than Johnny Unitas? Probably.
Yeah,
Would our Uncle Richard, who played AAA ball, or I don't know what he played. He played some semi-professional.
He got drafted.
Would our Uncle Richard strike out Babe Ruth?
No, I think Uncle Richard's probably a better baseball player than Babe Ruth. So
yeah. Comparing eras, don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't
I think
do
like,
it.
Yeah. Don't yeah.
Don't do. Don't gets, compare eras dicey. In sports. Just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just love comparing eras, though. Like watching those guys that film. It's like, is
the
that film in slow motion?
Yeah.
Or is that just okay?
Like watching Lynn Dawson throw a football.
Yeah.
It's painful. It's like, oh my god, that guy couldn't play D3 football.
Yeah. Man. But they paved the way. They paved the way. All right. That is our Kansas City Star letter to the editor of the week. Next, personal pine tar. Been talking a lot about babies this episode. Danny, yeah.
I try to limit my personal pine tars that revolve around dad and baby stuff. Here we go. A lot of the dad memes and internet memes around baby onesies and like sleeping pajamas is like you should never get baby onesies that button up because like in the middle of the night having to change a diaper and then refasten buttons is a huge pain in the ass. That's not my beef here, friends.
So
my
you're getting your parenting advice from memes on the internet is what you're telling us.
Good. My beef, okay. My right. beef is onesies that zip from the top. You've already built a zipper on the onesie. So imagine, Kevin, the onesie, once it's completely on, it zips up from it zips down from the top to the bottom. So in order to access the diaper, you have to zip and basically take the whole onesie off, arms included. But yeah. Good onesies, once it's on, it zips up from the bottom. So just the legs can pop out, chest yeah. and arms can stay closed in the onesie, and you can just change the diaper that way. So there are onesies that exist that it zips. Onesie's on, baby is dressed. You have to unzip it from the top, so then the whole arms have to come out and everything has to come apart, basically, in order for you to change the diaper instead of from the bottom up. So you just get the legs out.
Dumb.
So you've already put the zipper on there. Why do you have it on the wrong way? I mean, it's insane. There's yeah. absolutely zero reason for the zipper to come from the top down instead of the bottom up. So that's my beef. I don't even mind buttons that much. What I don't like is zippers from the top down.
Uh-huh. I'm going to buy so many of those for you guys. And you better, he and James better wear them. That's a real doozy. I'm going to take a favorite of your personal pine tar thing. I'm going to complain about some streets.
Okay.
Here, and more specifically street lights, because I have to face this light, you know, multiple times a week. And it is the 50th / Rockwell and Ward Parkway.
Rockwell or Rock Hill? Rockwell?
Rockwell.
Okay.
And 50th Street, which like is just southwest of the plaza, right?
Okay.
It's which like way the are last you going? Light. So I am actually coming to cross Ward Parkway. I don't know which direction it is, but I'm crossing Ward Parkway, so I need to go from the south side of the plaza, get onto Ward Parkway to head to Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Okay.
And it's that last light there. And there is a light, and then Ward Parkway northbound, and then a bridge, and then Ward Parkway southbound.
Okay, yeah,
so
I know
there's
that.
Two lights. But when the light on the northbound side turns green, I'll go across, and either the light on the southbound won't stay green long enough for me yep. to get there, so now mm-hmm. I'm stuck, or it just won't even turn on.
Yeah, you just gotta run that light
up at all.
You just gotta
run
it
all the time.
Yeah,
I run it all the time. It's the worst light because I like and to make both green lights. If I'm sitting in first place at the first light, I have to literally gun it
speed
to make sure that I can make the second light.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense at all.
Yeah. So you're talking
way off.
Yeah. So here's the only thing I'll say about that as the resident traffic complainer.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't mind that because I used to live on West Plaza. So I used to deal with that light all the time. Mm-hmm. If you are in first place, you can just run it. I think I'm just going to say it right now. It's acceptable to run that light. Okay.
I run it all the time.
And so you can always just run it. And it's giving priority to the much busier street. And so when lights are set up that way to give way more in favor of the busier street and the cut through street that's not busy at all, gets very little respect and gets very little time. I don't have a problem with that because you can always run those lights. Where I have issue is lights like 72nd Street in Warnell, the light by the Quick Trip.
Too much respect.
The light by the Quick Trip on 72nd and Warnell, it gets just as much respect and time as Warnell gets. And that's the stupidest thing that exists in our entire city. And
I think this is the 72nd time you brought this up.
I visit that light. I've never made that light. I've now lived in Brookside since April. I go through that light two or three times a day. I have never made that light. I've never driven through that light on 72nd and Warnell. So F that light, F it. Because you can't run that one. It's harder to run.
No. Cops watch you turning left illegally too. They sit in the Sutherland's parking lot. And
they sit at the Quick Trip eating donuts.
Easy. Don't go too hard on police. I've had to edit things out that you've said before.
All right. Anyways, city planners listening to the show. I know most city planners do listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do something about 72nd and Warnell. Sorry for hijacking
and
your 50th personal
and Rockwell and 50th and Rockwell too. There's something's got to be done about that too. We should get that new city planner on the pod though.
Oh, we do need to. I think he's the city manager.
City manager. Yeah, that guy. All right. Let's see. We've got
personal pine tar. I forgot I already.
Oh, we already heard that. Onesie diapers. We've got time for the mixed plate. And in honor of LC this week, we're going to be talking the mixed plate of barbecue restaurants in Kansas City, folks.
This is the big
one.
Here
it is. This is the big list. Now, we've talked about specific dishes from barbecue restaurants to build up a real mixed plate. But here we want to just go ahead and say, here it is. Here's the holy grail. Of restaurants, barbecue restaurants.
That was a good one because we did two meats and two sides for our from where, and we chose where from. But this is just restaurants. We've never done it. I feel like we've never done it because it's too obvious, right? But let's just do it.
Yeah,
let's just do it.
All right, episode 95.
Yes,
we're on.
All right, meat number one. This is I mean, you can call it cliche. I mean, a lot of these are going to be cliche answers because everyone does this list so often. And every conversation you have with a visitor not from Kansas City, you do this list. So, whatever. But the best barbecue restaurant in Kansas City is Joe's KC. It's so consistent. Their meat is always on point. You never have a bad piece of meat there. You can order it to go, still just as good. Like a Z-Man sandwich that you pick up from the to-go window and drive home and eat, it's still so delicious. And, I mean, so the Z-Man obviously is unmatched. The ribs are just incredible. Like their ribs never miss. Their ribs are just perfect. And Joe's KC is the best. That's all that needs to be said.
Okay. All right. All right, then I'm gonna go with my meat number one here. These are a little cliche, but Jack Stack, that's my meat number one, right there. Now we know how I feel about cheesy corn, so that's not why I'm picking this. But I think consistency. I think Kansas City. A place where you'd want to take people to show them Kansas City barbecue. Pro tip, the best appetizer out there is the burnt end appetizer. You get pork, beef, and sausage all on like this burnt end platter. Very good to share. So get that. And then not only are their plates awesome, their sandwiches have really stepped up too. So Jack Stack, consistency, the best beans in the city too. And that's not up for debate.
Yeah. All right. Meat number two. I'm going respect. I'm going with LC's. It's again, one of those places that if you have a friend in from out of town and you're going to a Royals game, just do it. Just go to LC's, take your buddy in there, show them the pit, order ribs, burn ends, you know,
can't go wrong.
Get some classics and or get some sandwiches and eat there. and then head to a Royals game. It's just, it's Americana. It's so delicious. If we're talking meat quality, LC's is right up there. So I'm going LC's.
And you leave smelling like barbecue too. You like, you inhale calories when you walk in. It's beautiful.
It is
truly beautiful. All right. Let's see. I'm going to have to go with, oh man, this is tough. I want to go with Charbar though.
Okay.
I freaking love Charbar.
I have it on my list. It is good.
I like that they're not afraid to get creative with sandwiches, adding smoked cheeses to them. They'll even incorporate barbecue in their brunch menu. The burnt ends eggs Benedict is my favorite brunch in Kansas City. So, you know, the fact that I get to eat barbecue in the morning at Charbar definitely elevates it. And then meet Mitch, the guy who owns it. I mean, he's phenomenal. Consistency's good. So, love Charbar.
Okay. I do too. I have it on my list. I think it's very good. I mean, my side number one, I'm going Q39 again. Really good food. We talked about this on my mixed plate of mixed plates, but their smoked chicken and smoked sausage is one of the best entrees in the city.
Chicken wings.
Yeah, they also
smoke them, then fry them. Oh, mm-hmm.
They also have fantastic sides, a great bar. So it's got like the full package. It's different than LC's and Joe's in the gas station because it has nice cocktails. It has, the full craft beer bar and all that stuff, sit down restaurant. So different, but the meat holds up. The meat is still very good. And I really didn't think a restaurant could come in and be new and be up there with some of the legends, but Q39 has.
Mm-hmm. All right. Side number one here. I'm going to go with Gates. And who doesn't love a good beef on bun, but it's the sauce. It's the best sauce. It's the sauce that I will put on anything. I love it that much. It's what made me fall in love with barbecue, is Gates barbecue sauce. So I got to show some love to Gates. And again, the Gates barbecue sauce, I love it.
Yep.
And so there's not really what I learned. And as I grew older and met people from other cities, people think it's really weird that we argue about who has the best barbecue sauce. Like people from Wisconsin aren't like, they don't actually like argue about like which cheese is the best. Like we'll get in serious arguments about which sauce is the best.
Okay.
So
I agree.
I love the passion.
And if you're a Casey Masterpiece family, just get out. All right. My side number two, I'm going another legend. I'm going Arthur Bryant's. This is a place I probably go to least of my top four, but
you want to know something?
I know. I don't know. I don't think I want to know it.
I've never been.
Yeah, I think I knew.
Yeah, that. I think I've said that before in this podcast.
But they
somebody take me.
Yeah, but it's the place I've been to least out of all of my top four. But their burnt ends are just unforgettable, and it's again one of the types of places where it's not nice. There's nothing like special about it as far as dining experience, but it's special because the food is so good, and the pit again is just right behind the counter. And you can see them making your food when you're checking out. So Arthur Bryant's, get the burn-ins. Don't try to get a sandwich because it's just going to be too messy. And it's just going to it's just gonna fall apart. Just get the burn-ins.
Okay. All right. Okay. Side number two. I think I'm going to venture over to Slaps Barbecue to round out my list.
Yep. Gotta that was my Slaps. Next.
I mean, you can't really go wrong. I always have a hard time choosing between the sandwich or the Mike Johnson. Both of those sandwiches are phenomenal. Awesome plates. Their chicken also is award-winning. Phenomenal. Like, I've just gone with the hot, like, half chicken before, too. But, man, the Mike Johnson and the sandwich are two of the best sandwiches in the city. So got to show some love to Slaps Barbecue. Those guys came up and they've got all the hardware. Like when you walk in, you can tell how legit it is. All the competitions they've won. So show some love to Slaps.
So I've a couple of left off. I've heard really good things about Heart Barbecue. I haven't tried it yet. I've heard really good things about Big T's. I've never been there. One place that is in Grandview that I like is called Luke's. Plus, my father-in-law always brings it. And so free barbecue is the best barbecue.
Yeah.
So shout out to those places.
Have you been to Woodyard Barbecue?
I have not been to Woodyard either.
Very good. Very good. When you think of Woodyard, you know, you think of that smoky flavor, at least I did, and it hits. Woodyard Barbecue, very good. Really cool layout, too. Very different, like, wide open space. It's cool to check out.
Nice.
And I think that was it. Yeah, everything else was taken up, so we'll see. We'll see how we did once we put it out to the people, see what they think, so... All right, that'll do it for us this episode. Thanks again to Gigi for joining us. Thanks again to you guys for listening. Any other announcements?
Nope.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on social media @StateYourLine. Check us out at StateYourLine.com. We'll see you around Kansas City.